Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today, we'll hear the story of how a Minnesota Air National Guard airman came to the rescue of a motorist, and we'll get an update from Minnesota's American Legion Department commander. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tuesday, August 26, is the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Every branch of service and nearly 60 organizations that support military families will be on display. This year, we will be recognizing the children of service members and veterans. I encourage you to come out early in the day. At 11:30 in the morning, a parade of military kids will begin at the Liney Lodge and end at Carousel Park, where they will be recognized with a special program. After the program, we have an exciting entertainment from noon until 4, tailored to youth and families. In addition to the morning program, the day is filled with educational opportunities about the military and for military members, veterans, and their families. Resource information will be available at booth locations in the northeast corner of the fairgrounds. The 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Band will perform at the Liney Lodge Band Shell August 25th and 26th at 10:30 and 11:45. All active military and their families, as well as veterans and their spouses, will receive a discounted admission at the gate when they present valid documentation of military service. We'll see you August 26th for Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Air National Guard is Master Sergeant Bob Renning. Bob, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you.
Bob, you've had kind of an exciting week in the last 6-7 days, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but can you tell me a little bit about your military career?
Sure. I've been in the Guard. I've been in the military for about 24 years now. Part of that time was active duty Air Force, spent a little bit of time in the Iowa Army National Guard working on helicopters, and then the last 8 years has been with the Minnesota Air National Guard, the 133rd Air Wing here in Minnesota.
Well, glad to see you got back to the air side of the house, Bob.
Well, it means I can speak Army, so that helps a lot sometimes.
Well, it's good since there's so many on the Army side in the Minnesota National Guard.
Exactly.
Just kind of a fun game we play between Army and Air. And
yes, it is.
Sergeant Ben will tell you that happens quite often around here. But
I find that hard to believe.
That's it. So what do you do in the Air National Guard now? What's your position?
I'm currently a first sergeant. I work as a first sergeant for the 133rd Mission Support Group. So I've got about 105 enlisted folks that I'm responsible for in terms of welfare training. Just taking care of the troops is my job, making sure the commander has a group of folks that are ready to deploy.
The first sergeant, pretty important job in the Air Force, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah, it is.
Now, I want to ask you about your training. All those years in the military, you've had a lot of training for a lot of different types of situations.
That's true. Anything from self-aid, buddy care to, you know, some of the basic combat life skill, saving skills, those types of things, situational awareness. It's pretty broad range.
So it prepares you to be ready for any emergencies that might pop up.
That's the game plan.
And I imagine, as opposed to someone without that training, it might give you the willingness to step up and do what's needed to be done.
Well, you know, one of the Air Force core values is service before self, you know, so the concept of helping each other out, taking care of your buddy, taking care of the folks around you, yeah, that's part of that process.
Bob, we have another guest in the studio today, and it's Mike Johannes. Mike, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Welcome. Thank you, Tom.
You two have become fast friends in the last week.
Yes, we have. owe a lot to Bob for being at the right place at the right time.
And Mike, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where do you work?
Work over as a contract employee over at 3M Companies. Work for Adecco Contract Services. Work in their abrasives division for, you know, application support. Kind of like a and a liaison to our lab, I always say, you know.
There you go.
The real engineers, you know, but we know a lot of the technical expertise on a lot of our products. That's what we do.
And we've had 3M on the show several times in the last 4 years. They've won some awards for supporting the troops and the families. They've got an organization called the Military Support Network within 3M. 3M and the culture over there leans towards taking good care of your veterans and your military employees and their families, don't they?
Yes, they do. And you see a lot of that as you go to their cafeteria. They have a lot of signage, everything about what you're talking about as you walk in the hallways out there.
So that's got to be a great place to work.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
Mike, can you tell us, I understand last weekend you're home alone. Was your family up north?
Actually, I was out at my, we were out at my in-laws' lake home out in Wyoming, right off of Linwood Lake. My wife had left a little early. We were leaving my daughter and a dog and everything out there for the week and coming back to work 3 days, you know, and go back out Wednesday night, you know. And I had just purchased this 2006 Trailblazer, you know, thinking, hey, this nice ride, you know. My wife had left before I did got it. Was already at home. I was driving down 35. And,
Before we get to that, Bob, why don't you tell us what were you doing last weekend when the two of you met?
Actually, something very similar. I was up at a friend's house. They have a lake home up in Pine City. And so Aussie, my girlfriend, and I were up there, and we were on our way back into town to pick up a buddy at the airport.
I guess I was in the wrong part of town. I was just sitting at home doing nothing, and you guys were having fun at the lake and coming back.
The excitement was out on 35W.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to go to a short break here for a minute, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the circumstances that led to you guys meeting and Mike for you meeting your new best friend here.
Yeah.
Because there was a little accident last weekend. So we're going to take a short break. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're talking to Master Sergeant Bob Renning and Mike Joannis about an incident that happened last weekend. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're talking about how our Minnesota Air National Guard airmen came to the rescue of a motorist last weekend here in the Twin Cities. And we've been talking to Master Sergeant Bob Renning and Mike Joannis. Mike, you were coming back from the lake, just kind of a routine Sunday.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through what happened?
Yeah, I just came off of Lexington Avenue, hopped on 35, you know, doing 65, heading home for the weekend, worked the 3 days and go back up. And I smelled some smoke. It was just the car was running a little erratically. And then all of a sudden, you know, it happened so quick. I look in my rearview mirror, I see smoke. And then I go, it can't be this car. I just got it. And I look, and all of a sudden the dash, you know, the lights came on, like a Christmas tree, you know, green, red, and everything. And I, the speedometer went from 65 to zero, and then I'm going, uh-oh, something's wrong here. And then it really, the smoke really started billowing up about that time. You know, it wasn't filled the car yet, but I could smell it. So I hit the brakes, and they kind of went right to the floor, and just there was nothing. And then I got over to
real
the side.
Sick feeling, wasn't it?
I got over to the, I was, it was like, you know, I got, stopped the car, put it in park, and I don't think I even hit the ignition or whatever, but I know I couldn't, there's flames coming in on the driver's side, you know, kind of come, I could see that, so I knew it was on fire. But what had happened, when I stopped, the smoke filled the car, so I was like, blind. And
you couldn't get the doors open?
No, I couldn't. And I, when you turn it off, they would open, and it didn't happen. So I don't, at that point, I'm not.
So
sure,
Bob, at what point did you see Mike's car and something was going on?
Well, I just happened to look into my rearview mirror and could see that there was a car six or seven car lengths back that there were just flames just rolling underneath it. At that point in time, I didn't believe that the driver knew that he was on fire. So started slowing down, working my way through traffic a little bit to get over to the car. I asked Aussie, to roll the window down so we can try and flag the driver down. I think it's at this time where Mike was talking about, he noticed things starting to go wrong in the car and he started to pull over anyway. So was able to pull over about 200 feet in front of Mike and jumped out of the car. And I think I may have used my first sergeant voice on the girlfriend, and I don't always recommend that, gentlemen, but...
Call 911!
Exactly. So I said, Aussie, call 911, and jumped out of the car and started running back towards Mike's car. And as I was getting closer, of course, I could see the flames billowing up on the driver's side. And the interior of the car was filled with smoke. And once I got actually up to the car, I could tell, I mean, the car was so, the smoke was so dense that you couldn't see who or what was in that vehicle.
So, Mike, you got the car over to the side of the road, mm-hmm. and it was stopped. The doors wouldn't open. What were you doing then? You couldn't have known that Bob was coming to help.
Well, you know, my reaction was, you know, I had my seatbelt off. I was quick enough. And I didn't panic. I mean, I figured I had to get out of there. And I know not, you know, I heard people telling you they can't kick those windows out. But I thought, well, I got to give it a try. So I wedged myself between the console. And that's when I was kicking. I think that's when Bob saw the bottom of my sandals trying to kick the glass. That wasn't working. And like I said, I didn't know Bob was out. I couldn't see. And I was holding my breath. So it's kind of this, you know, tomb that I'm in, and I'm getting a little nervous. I hadn't quite, I was coming up to panicking, and then I remembered I had a Magnum flashlight, about, I don't know, those huge law enforcement metal flashlights in the back of the car with all my stuff. And I was just ready to, I had a knee going back there, and then all of a sudden, you know, I hear the shattering of this glass, and it was somebody. It was Bob, and I saw the light.
Let's hold it there okay. for a minute. So, Bob, you get up to the car, and it's all smoke inside, like Cheech and Chong or something in there, and you see these big feet trying to break the window.
Yes.
What did you do then?
Well, the first thing I did was try to open the car door normally. Don't know why, but that's what I tried, and then tried, you know, putting a little bit more leverage on it, putting my foot against the side of the car and pulling on the door handle. That didn't work. So somehow I managed to get my fingers in around the top of the door frame. Just kind of wedged myself against the side of the car and just started to heave. And the glass shattered. And then reached in.
We've seen pictures of the car. The top part above the glass broke away.
Yeah. I probably pulled it farther than I needed to, but I really wasn't thinking about that at that point. So the goal was to get the, you know, to pry something open and get the glass to pop.
Mike, and what happened? That must be when you heard the noise.
Yep, and I moved quick. I mean, I mean, like I said, I'm a big guy. I fit through that small hole pretty quick. Like I was telling you guys, I was holding my breath so long. I think I had my stomach sucked in. I could get out that. But it was, and I just was, thank you. And he got me to the ground, and I guess I did say something, my wallet or something I left, and Bob says, you can replace that. Let's get out of here. And by the time we did, fire had already engulfed the area that I was at. Yeah, so it was a matter of seconds that Bob, if there would have been no one there, it would have been.
You got this window open, and you saw these hands come up.
We just reached in, grabbed them, pulled them out through the window. He kind of dove out onto the ground. We rolled down into the ditch. First thing I asked him was there anybody else in the car? Because, again, he still couldn't see inside. He said no. Made sure he was okay, good enough to move. At that point, it was getting pretty hot because the flames had started then to roll up the sides of the car on the passenger side as well. So we got up and got upwind of the vehicle a ways.
We've been speaking with Master Sergeant Bob Renning and Mike Johannes on Minnesota Military Radio about a rather significant event in Mike's life last weekend. So, Mike, you're in the ditch with Bob, and he's asking if anybody else is in the car, and you're thanking God that you got out of that thing, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was thanking, you know, thanking him for everything, you know, and I'm still doing that. And there'll be there's a lot of thanks there.
So now you got a new best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bob says that I think we both kind of have the same sense of humor, kind of a little goof, you know, quirky, would you say, or what?
Oh, I wouldn't call it quirky, but we get along just fine.
I think it'll be fine. Maybe in a couple, be a while, we start making barbecue jokes and stuff like that. I'm not really right there yet.
Yeah, I don't think you want to see too much smoke right now.
No.
Well, that was quite an experience last weekend, and very fortunate that you had somebody with the wherewithal and the thought to stop and take a chance and help.
Yeah. The words just can't explain it. Up and down. I think I've told people that Bob's on the top of that Christmas list now.
There you go. Bob, I would think that for most motorists, if they saw something like that, they might not even have registered, just kept right on going. Would have been easier to just go about your business. What prompted you to say, no, I'm going to stop and do this?
I think it's partly the way I was raised. Again, it's partially, when you go back and talk about the military training and the core values, it's part of the Guard. I mean, we're here to serve the state. We're here to take care of each other. We're here to take care of the folks that are around us. You take it the next step beyond just the military realm, the humankind thing. And if you're not stopping to help people, I don't know what's wrong.
Well, a lot of times it happens, but
it does. It does. Uh-huh. But fortunately, in this case, things worked out.
Gentlemen, you've been through a whirlwind week this week, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of reporters and so forth. And we want to thank you both for coming in to tell your story. And Mike, I'm glad you lived through that, and you can replace that stuff. And
yeah, absolutely.
Sergeant Renning, great work, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
It's Master Sergeant Bob Renning and Mike Johannes on Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to get an update from Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll get an update from Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalitoe.
Minnesota's largest veteran career fair will be held on July 9th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Earl Brown Heritage Center in Brooklyn Park. If you are a current or former U.S. military service member and looking for a job or interested in exploring new careers or educational opportunities, come to the largest veterans career fair in Minnesota. More than 125 Minnesota's best employers with current job openings will be there and anxious to talk to you all in one place. This free event is organized and hosted by the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Visit the event page on MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalitoe. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander, Mike Ash. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me again, Tom. Appreciate it.
Mike, I know you're just finishing up your year as commander of Minnesota's Department of American Legion. Does that mean you're going to go to this Vets Career Fair the commissioner was just talking about?
I guess I'm going to have to. I'll get out there to the Earl Brown Center and put in my resume and see what happens.
But that wasn't your full-time job, was it?
No, unfortunately, it was not.
You had two full-time jobs last year.
Two full-time jobs, that's it.
What's your other full-time job?
I work for the Minneapolis Public Schools. I'm a finance account specialist on the special ed department.
So you do have a job to go back to.
I do have a job to go back to.
All right. We don't want to see you out there taking one of those jobs from one of our younger vets there.
Absolutely not.
Vet Center. Mike, welcome back to the show. You've been on a few times this year. It's been, as near as I can recall, it's been a busy year. Now, you're an Air Force veteran.
I am.
Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Spent 21 years in the Air Force and went in, became an intelligence analyst. And with that, I traveled traveled back and forth between Korea, actually. I spent 3 tours in Korea, spent time at the National Security Agency, 3.5 wonderful years there. Not really. 3.5 years, but they sure weren't wonderful.
Now, Mike, let's be nice.
Okay. Spent 3 years up in Alaska. That was probably my favorite tour up there. Getting out and fishing and hunting and every once in a while doing a mission, actually doing a mission. And then I was down in Homestead, Florida. And I got to, at the end of my career, I got to go over to Saudi Arabia for Desert Storm and got to spend some time with the on the IG team. And we went over to Germany while I was still East and West Germany and got to inspect some of our units over there.
Now, Mike, you were in the Air Force, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
I'm just thinking about joining the Navy, see the world.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, I tell you what, being in the Air Force, that's an adventure as well.
I do remember, long time ago, but I do remember. Now, tell us, how did you get involved in the American Legion?
Well, I became a Legionnaire the same day that I enlisted into the Air Force, not on purpose, but my dad went down and he said, as soon as you raise your hand and enlist, then you're going to become a member of the American Legion.
I was going to say, I don't remember seeing that line when I signed up.
Exactly.
And went to basic
training. There's some people that think that should be a line there so that to get us a few more members. But he signed me up there, and just about every base I was assigned to, they had an American Legion nearby, overseas or in the States. And I joined the local Legion and helped out, whether it was calling bingo or just helping around the post. And when I got down to Texas, my last tour down there, I was down there for about six years. And during that time, I became the commander of the post down there. And just before I started my second term as commander, they sent me over for 3 months over to Saudi Arabia and came back, completed my tour, and retired, came back to Minnesota.
And started working your way up through the chairs, and you've spent the last year as department commander, the head commander of the state of Minnesota for the American Legion.
Right.
Tell us about that year. How many posts do you think you visited, Mike?
I started writing down all the different posts I've gone to, all the different events I've gone to, and I think it's about 20 per month at least.
So you've been around the state a lot, then.
Oh, been from one corner to the other. And all parts in between.
What would you say were the highlights of your year as a department commander?
Well, some of the highlights were getting up to Legionville and having them complete the education center. One of my biggest thrills was going up on Capitol Hill, testifying for some veterans' bills that came in front of the legislators up there, and I got to speak to a lot of the legislators, both on our Capitol Hill in St. Paul here and in Washington, D.C. And most of the time I spoke pretty civilly to them, and they returned a favor. Sometimes they listened, but when they appeared to be dozing off, I made sure that I woke them up and got their attention very quickly.
So one of the duties of the department commander for Minnesota's American Legion is to sit on the commander's task force.
Absolutely.
With the commanders of the other 8 veteran service organizations in the state, and the purpose there is to work together and have kind of a legislative focus and go up to the hill and try to promote some veterans issues.
Right. And that was another high point, working with the other commanders, the other adjutants of the other 8 congressionally mandated veteran service organizations. We put together an agenda at the beginning of the year with the help of the Minnesota Veterans Administration, and I think we did a great job. It was a smaller list this year than it usually is, just because it was an unfunded year, and
it was a bonding session. But we got a few good things done. We had Mike McElhenney from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on a couple of weeks ago, and it sounded like you had a pretty good year.
Well, we sure did, and Mike was he's just an outstanding guy. The huge help to the CTF when every time we met, he was there with the commissioner, and we talked to them and gave them some ideas, and they bounced some ideas off of us, and it was great.
So you all worked together to go up to the legislature and use the combined voices of all the veterans in Minnesota that belong to those organizations to try to help make sure we keep our deal with our veterans and take care of them.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Mike Ash, the Department Commander of State of Minnesota for American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. Mike, what would you say in the last year that you're most proud of?
Probably a couple of weeks ago, I threw a strike at the Twins game.
Made it all the way to home base?
Made it all the way to home plate. There was some controversy there. T.C. Bear couldn't hold on to it. But
did you throw him a curveball?
I threw him a hard, fast sinker, went right over the plate and dropped and hit him right in the edge of the glove, and it bounced in front of him. And for some reason, he couldn't see it, and it was right in front of him. There's a lot of things that I took pride and ownership in during the year, working with a post around the state, along with our American Legion riders as well. That's been a big project and a big program of the American Legion. And they're a bunch of great guys and gals. They're from the American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary, and the Sons of the American Legion. And they all own motorcycles, and they raise money for our Legacy Fund, which helps to send kids to college who had parents die since 9/11 in service.
Mike, we've heard a lot lately in the news about the controversy with the VA medical centers and how the VA is doing across the country. And it sounds like here in Minnesota we're doing pretty good, but there's some hot spots out there, aren't there?
There are some hot spots indeed. And that's the American Legion spends much of our volunteer time and talent playing watchdog over the VA. And we've done that with all our facilities in Minneapolis, St. Cloud, Sioux Falls, and the state veterans' homes. And I think we've done a very good job. We made sure that our veterans get taken care of. Even though you've heard across the United States there's long waiting times, our waiting times have been minimal.
Here in Minnesota.
Here in Minnesota, right. Here in Minnesota, we've done very well. Our VA facilities are among the very best. We always get the top rating when they compare the VA centers. And we hope that we're there, and we continue to make them stay that way.
And for our veterans out there, if they've got any kind of a need veterans-wise, the first stop is the County Veteran Service Officers. But American Legion has some advocates that help the veterans process their claims and help the veterans make sure that process works smoothly.
Absolutely. We have a couple of staff. We have two Department Service Officers, Tom Newman and Jeremy Wolfsteller. One works out at the VA, the Whipple Building, and one works at the VA Medical Center. And that's their job, is to help our veterans when they come in to fill out claims and to get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
And you've seen those guys firsthand. They're working hard, aren't they?
They are working very hard.
And you've got, how's membership this year? We're just about out of time for this segment. Oh. But
Membership's doing good. We're down a little bit, and that's something that we continue to work on, keep on trying to implement change. We've gotten, one of my big things is getting out on Facebook. That seemed to draw in a lot of people to us.
We're losing a lot of World War II guys and some of the older guys, but you still have to bring on the younger guys, don't you?
Absolutely. We bring in the younger guys, and as long as we have our seasoned players in place to mentor them, I think we'll be doing fine.
Mike, we have to take a short break. We'll be right back with more with the Department Commander of Minnesota's American Legion, Mike Ash, in just a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phalon Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985, and we'd welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting today with Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander, Mike Ash. Mike, every time you come over here, we mean to talk about American Legion baseball, but we always run out of time. You want to give us an update on that?
Absolutely. This year has been really exciting for Minnesota American Legion baseball, too. We've become the largest program in the 50 states. We have 306 teams and over 5,000 young people playing Legion ball. Being number one just adds a little luster to the program, which has produced 5 national champions, including 3 in the last 15 years. Programs run by a group of incredible volunteers that just go out there and put out 100%. And, of course, when they put out 100% and the players see them put out 100%, they just want to do the same thing. So we've got a great bunch of student athletes out there that learn not only about baseball but how to work together, good ethics, working hard, and love of country.
So American Legion baseball is in a good place and it's working well.
Absolutely is. Looking to get another national champion here pretty quick.
I'm going to hold you to that now, Mike.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the other things we've talked about in the past when you've been here is every year, whoever the commander is, you have what's called a commander's project. And I know that you picked up on the commander's project from last year from Commander Pancake because it didn't quite get done. How'd you do this year?
We did extremely well. We've raised quite a bit of money, and last year, Commander Pancake had the building raised, and
this is Legionville.
Legionville, yep. The it used to be called the Barn. That was the icon of the of Legionville, and now it's the Education Center. It sort of resembles a barn, but not really. And they don't like us to call it a barn anymore.
Now, Mike, for those who might not know, what happens in Legionville?
Every year we have students come up there, and they learn. Along with the Minnesota Highway Patrol, we teach them school safety, overall school safety, and safety particularly on the school patrol that carry the flags out and have the kids cross back and forth across the streets and that kind of thing.
So it's a school safety patrol, and the American Legion has been helping with this for decades.
Decades, yep. 1936 is when we moved up into... up there, we took it over, and I think in 1920, a nun, one of the local sisters in St. Paul, actually started the school safety patrol, and we picked it up from there and took it on out.
And as you were saying, the old education center was referred to as a barn.
It was actually a barn,
and it was falling down.
It was falling apart. For a long time, and it took them, it seemed like 6 years to finally say, we're going to have to take that puppy down and replace it with something else. And we got a good crew of architects together, and they put together this building that is just super. It's got first aid stations in it. It's got a nurse's quarters. It's got two huge classrooms. And it looks like a basketball court inside.
And last year, Commander Pancake raised the money, and they got the building all closed in. But then this year, you had to pick it up and finish the inside and raise more money to finish that up.
Right. We've got it sheetrocked, and we're just getting ready to start painting. But they've already started classes, so they're already running as they've got it now. They got the electrical and plumbing all set in there, and it's running great. We just need to get some of our Legionnaires and anybody who wants to come on out there and maybe do a little mudding and taping and maybe a little painting, and we'll finish that puppy up.
So you're coming up on a dedication program sometime soon.
September 6th, which is Saturday, we're going to have our usual camperee out there where we just get together and camp out. And
this is up in Brainerd.
This is up in Brainerd, just north of Brainerd a little bit.
It's open to all your Legion members and the public.
Legion members and public. If you want to come up there, please do. We're going to have the dedication at 1 o'clock on this, September 6th.
Mike, we've just got a little over a minute left. Any final words of wisdom for us after your year in office and all these years you've spent in the Air Force and working in various positions for the American Legion?
Well, I tell you, it's been a great year. And my theme this year was communication, trying to get communication out there. My wife, being the public relations chair, was instrumental in that. She
nudging you all year long.
She got you all. She make sure you get pictures. Make sure you get take your iPad, take pictures, and we got to get them out on Facebook. And we have, and we've gotten a terrific following, and I've just gotten so much positive feedback from the members that we are getting out there, that we're getting the word out to the veterans community. We're picking up members on a great basis. Unfortunately, they're passing away a little quicker than we can pick them up.
Well, we just have to get a little quicker and get them in.
That's right.
Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show several times this year and bring us up to date on all the wonderful things the American Legion is doing in Minnesota, and we want to wish you great things for the future.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, and I appreciate Minnesota Military Radio having me on so many times as well.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Mike Ash, the Department Commander for Minnesota's American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the VA healthcare system is Ralph Huesner, the Public Affairs Officer, sitting in for Director Patrick Kelly today. Ralph, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I understand the director's out traveling and working today, and so you're going to fill in and give us some information, starting with an update on the Fort Snelling Homeless Project.
Yes, sir. This project on the Fort Snelling Upper Post has been discussed for 2+ years. We actually held a groundbreaking on May 29th with our partners, Common Bond Communities. They are developing 5 buildings on the historic fort. These buildings have been in existence since the early 1920s. 3 of them were originally stables for the U.S. Cavalry, and then 2 other buildings were NCO quarters. Work is actually taking place as we speak. The scaffolding is up. The ground has been cordoned off, and work is underway. And 2 of the buildings, the NC quarters, will open in the fall of this year. This project is important because it is going to provide housing for up to 58 homeless veterans. So we're excited about this. It's going to be a good use for the property, the buildings, which are historic. We have to maintain the historic character of the buildings. But most importantly, it's going to mean that veterans who are currently homeless are going to have a new place to live and a new start on their life.
We're looking forward to that, Ralph. But I understand you're also moving some clinics to the Whipple Building.
The Whipple Federal Building is the home of the Veterans Benefits Administration. We work cooperatively with the VBA for the processing of new claims for veterans. We are now in the process of renovating space in the Whipple Building, which will house the comp and pension clinic. The Veterans Health Administration, the hospital, does the physicals for veterans who are coming through the system. So we're going to relocate our primary care clinic into the Whipple Building, audiology clinic, and some imaging. The project is in design. We expect it to be completed in the fall of 2015. This is going to be the first time in the VA where VBA and VHA, the benefits and the healthcare system, are on a co-located in the same physical location. It's going to expedite the processing and make life a lot easier, we think, for veterans who are going through the C&P process.
Sounds like it's going to be a lot more convenient. Ralph, I understand that you've landed 2 of the top U of University of Minnesota doctors.
We're very fortunate that we will have 2 clinicians, physicians, currently with the University of Minnesota, will be joining the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on a full-time basis. Both of these docs currently do some consulting here. The first is Dr. Steve Santilli. Dr. Santilli is the head of vascular surgery at the University of Minnesota, but he's been doing surgery at the VA for about 20 years on a contract basis. Dr. Santilli, who is well-known in the community, is going to be the head of our surgery and specialty care program. He will be coming on board, we believe, in the fall, September. The other doc is Ezki Teriyaki. Dr. Teriyaki is a neurologist, also at the University of Minnesota and Hennepin County. Dr. Teriyaki is going to be the Associate Chief of Staff for Education, which is an important position in our medical center because we train so many docs from the University of Minnesota. Interns, residents, they rotate through the VA, so we have an active outreach program to make sure the residents as well as nurses who float through here, are getting the best clinical education. Dr. Teriyaki actually is going to be starting here in July. And if you are a subscriber to Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine, in this month's issue of Top Doctors, both Dr. Teriyaki and Dr. Santilli are mentioned, as well as a handful of current VA physicians who've been recognized in physical medicine, dermatology, and some other specialties.
Ralph, sounds like things are happening out at the VA. I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Ralph Huestner, the Public Affairs Officer from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one mention this week about the Gold Star Family Weekend. Members of Minnesota area fallen families are invited to a special weekend of honor, remember, and cherish their loved ones. Gold Star Family Weekend is August 22nd through the 24th at Camp Ripley. We invite children, spouses, parents, and siblings of military fallen in all wars. For more information, see goldstarweekend.com or go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and we'll have a link to that. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Master Sergeant Robert Rennie, Mike Johanna, Mike Ash, Ralph Huestner, Commissioner Larry Shelido of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear one World War II veteran's story of service in the Pacific and discover new grounds for our veteran hunters. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.